I'm Afshin Ratansi and welcome to a brand new season of Going Underground with a new look, broadcasting all around the world from the heart of the Middle East. Today is World Press Freedom Day, but you'd never know it if you lived in a NATO country, as Israel deliberately starves the besieged Palestinians in Gaza. Much of the so-called mainstream press in NATO countries acts as co-belligerents for the genocide, with their governments from London to Washington imposing censorship and persecution of voices critical of the Holocaust. All this as Russia's three-day ceasefire in Ukraine is set to begin on Thursday, the anniversary of Russia's defeat of Nazi Germany in World War II. Joining me once again from Los Angeles is anti-war comic and free speech advocate Jimmy Dore, host of The Jimmy Dore Show.
Hello, thanks for having me. Great to see you again.
Jimmy, it's so good to see you. You know, Trump and Elon Musk have given us less censorship than in the dark days of Biden. We're hoping to talk to Elon Musk's dad on Monday's show. How is coverage of the Trump-backed, we can now say Trump-backed genocide in Gaza? Or even the death of the Mossad Epstein traffic Virginia Giuffre. I know you talked a bit about that on your show recently.
Well, you know, I mean, the media here, just like the government, is very subservient to the Israel lobby. And so it's amazing if ever truth ever gets through, it's never presented with the word genocide. It's really depressing. The good news is that the most recent polling in the United States shows that they're losing the narrative. And that's the thing that they can't afford to do. A year ago, the head of Palantir was at a symposium, and he said that this is the battle of the protests on college campuses. And he said that, Palantir, which is, it works hand in glove with the CIA and Peter Thiel and all those people in the surveillance state and the security state. And so what he said was, this is the fight. And if we lose this intellectual battle, that's what he called it, which really just a propaganda battle, if we lose this narrative control, then we'll never be able to deploy another army in the Western world. That's what he said. So that's why, according to them, this is an existential crisis, the crisis between Israel and Gaza and the narrative. And that's why, you know, in the United States, we only have 6 media companies. We used to have 50 giant media companies, and then Bill Clinton combined them and consolidated the media from 50 giant companies down to 6 amazingly giant companies. And so they're all owned by a handful of billionaires, and they all control the narrative, and they're all in bed with the...
But they're not controlling it. But in a sense, they're not controlling it now, I think that's a Pew Institute latest survey showing most Americans see Israel in an unfavorable light, which goes even more to making me want to ask you, why is Trump Israel first more than America first? It's not make America great again. Why? And it's not just money and not just the Israel lobby, or is it?
Maybe he's afraid to, you know, he told Judge Napolitano. Judge Napolitano tells this story about, hey, he called up Trump and said, why didn't you release the JFK files? This is 5 years ago. And he said, well, if you saw what they showed me, you wouldn't do it either. So it sounds to me like they've got him intimidated, right? So a lot of
But then he did release the JFK files.
There's lots of speculation that, you know, how the Israel and the CIA were involved in the JFK assassination. So maybe that's what he's afraid of. You know, they tried to assassinate him twice when he was running. So maybe there's that involved with it. There's certainly money involved with it. I wish I had better insight, but they certainly have a stranglehold on Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not America first. He's Israel first. And right now he's censoring in the United States and at the behest of Israel. You know, this whole thing at his inauguration, he gave a big speech where he said that the era of free speech is back. And of course, that was a lie. They hated the kind of narrative control that the woke left was having around things like DEI and ESG and trans issues and LGBTQ. So he's getting rid of that, but he's replacing it with another kind of censorship and another, and it's all for they call any criticism of Israel, as you know, they call anti-Semitism. And so, and they call it hate speech. And, you know, what I always say is, why am I not allowed to hate something? Why can't I hate Zionism? Why can't I hate a country? That's a thought crime. And I'm a free man. My freedom of speech is given to me by God. It's not granted to me by the Constitution or Donald Trump or the government. What the drafters of the United States Constitution said was that freedom of speech comes from God, and that the Constitution is just guaranteeing that the government will not interfere with that right. So what they're saying now in the United States is that, well, if you're a foreigner and you're not a citizen, let's say you're here on a green card or you're a student, a foreign student, you don't have the right to free speech. Well, that's not in keeping with the Constitution, because freedom of speech is not a privilege. Freedom of speech is a right, and we're supposed to defend it, and we're supposed to try to spread it around the world to everybody and as many people as we can. And they're breaking the spirit of the Constitution. They're breaking the spirit of the idea of free speech, and they're doing it all at the behest of right now a genocidal regime, which has caused every war in the Middle East in my lifetime.
Yeah, and successive presidents have arguably done this, and there was high hopes for Trump because he was so against the so-called left censorship that went on. Do you suspect now that you and the Jimmy Dore show is being censored in effect through algorithms on Google's platform, YouTube, despite the fact Donald Trump avowedly said he wanted no censorship on social media platforms? I mean, that's why Elon Musk said he wanted to buy X.
Well, there's no doubt that that's happening. It's not only happening. I mean, so they have different algorithms for different shows, right? So there's the corporate algorithm. When I started on YouTube, nobody went to YouTube to watch CNN clips or watch MSNBC or ABC news clips. They would get no views whatsoever. But now people like me would be getting millions of views because people came to YouTube to get an alternative narrative than from the corporate media. Well, now they have different algorithms for people like me because I was right about Russiagate. I was right about the Ukraine war. I was right about the Syrian gas attacks, and I was right about the COVID narrative. They've now deemed, because I go against the establishment on those things and I was proven right, they now deem me as what they call borderline content. And so that I'm on the least favorable algorithm, and they're suppressing, and they brag about suppressing the views that shows like mine get. In fact, we just found out that Facebook, the Gray Zone just printed an explosive article about how over 100 ex-IDF spies are working for Facebook, doing their censoring and doing their curating about what's content is allowed to be seen, what content is suppressed. So, yeah, again, it's over 100 IDF spies working for Facebook. So that's what we're up against.
Good old Mark Zuckerberg, who switched at the last minute to Trump to perhaps save the Meta company. But you are touring Britain soon. I don't want to go into my problems with my own birthplace and going to Britain. How safe do you think you're going to be? Because I think Grey Zone and other outlets were talking about the fact that names of journalists are being sent by the British government to the Israeli embassy in London. They're detaining people at British airports for opposing the genocide. And your show never stints from its opposition to the genocide. So what's going to happen to Jimmy Dore at a British airport? Your tour, Eli, you can remind us your dates.
Well, yes, I'll be in early June, June 11th through the 18th. I'll be touring Dublin and Belfast, Manchester, Glasgow, Birmingham, Liverpool, and London. So I was there a year ago, and I was in London a year ago, and I didn't have any problems. I was even in Berlin, which is way more, even it seems to be the worst, the most censorious. But I was in Berlin. I was allowed to perform to a sold out crowd. I traveled to Sweden and Norway and Denmark. and Amsterdam, and I didn't have any problems, but that was over a year ago. So maybe it's worse now because of the new polls coming out, and they seem to be panicking. They seem to know that they can't lose control of the narratives. They're cracking down harder on journalists. So my fingers are crossed. I mean, I'm not... I certainly have trepidation about going to the UK right now. You know, there, it's just amazing that we always thought that fascism and censorship, which censorship is the hallmark of fascists and dictators and authoritarians, we always thought that that was going to come from the right. My whole life, that was associated with right wing and extreme right wing. Well, it turns out it's the left wing that's actually doing it, and they're doing it under... like all dictators and authoritarians, they're doing it under the guise of we're protecting you. We have to protect the vulnerable. And they're just, and who are they censoring? They're censoring right wingers, right? And they're censoring left wingers too, by the way. So anybody who stands up against Israel genocide gets censored. They just canceled elections because they didn't like that anti-Ukraine war politician. I think was it Romania? I'm kind of confused on the country.
They're doing it all over.
Yes, so...
all over Europe. Actually, you know, I've got the Japanese FT here, and there's a huge... you can't see it from up there. It says Bellingcat. Bellingcat hasn't gone away.
Oh, so Bellingcat is a CIA...
no one... I don't know where they get the money to have a full-page advert in the Financial Times. I know Jimmy Dore, the Jimmy Dore Show has covered Bellingcat over the Syria war. Britain just bombed Yemen this week. They haven't gone away, these forces, have they? I mean, Bellingcat wanted to make us believe that Donald Trump was a Russian asset.
So, yeah, Bellingcat is funded by the CIA. They're not only the CIA, but the UK spy agencies also. So when what's interesting is that Elon Musk, through his Doge program, has shown how... the NGOs have been financed by the government through USAID and different the National Endowment for Democracy and by the CIA. And so what they do is they fund people like Bellingcat, which is just complete talking points directly from the war machine, directly from the State Department in the United States, directly from the MI6. And so everything they say is a lie and propaganda. And so that, where do they get their money from? That's where they get their money from. They're a bunch of losers with no expertise and no interest in telling the truth. They're 100% propaganda. That's just like, you might as well just be listening to the CIA, which, by the way, used to be, you know, we had Mockingbird Media in the United States, what was exposed in the 70s through the Church Committee. What was that the FBI and the CIA was buying off reporters. Well, they don't even have to buy off the reporters anymore. What they do here in the United States now is they don't bring on a reporter that's been bought off by the intelligence community. They just bring on the head of the CIA as if that's an expert witness. Instead of what the journalists are supposed to be doing is debunking what the head of the CIA is saying and showing you where they're lying, they bring them on as if they're telling you the truth. So they've just bypassed the middleman and they just bring the CIA and the FBI right on national news shows in the United States, and they quote them as if they're credible instead of as if they're lying spies, which is exactly what they are. And that's exactly what Bellingcat is. But I think people are onto it. That's why shows like yours are popular. Shows like mine are popular. The Gray Zone, other shows like that. And so people are going to alternative sources. That's why they're so upset about Joe Rogan, right? Because he's got the biggest show in the world.
On the name Rogan, Jimmy, I'll just stop you there. More from the legendary comedian and host of The Jimmy Dore Show after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the legendary comedian and host of his eponymous show, Jimmy Dore. Jimmy, I didn't mean to cut you off as soon as you mentioned Joe Rogan. Well, he's been doing great work, in fact. So I really didn't mean that. But you were talking about Bellingcat, and we're talking about disinformation. One of your great disinformation papers, the genocidal New York Times, has Ukraine pins hopes on drones. Do Americans who will be celebrating the end of World War II in a few days' time next week realize that their money is going to support people with Nazi insignia on their uniforms? Do they understand that? And does Trump understand that? Because for all Trump's talk about ending the war, the American taxpayer is still is the funder for the Zelensky's troops.
Well, I don't think they realize that there's a big faction of the Ukrainian military that are Nazis, and that's the Azov Battalion. They were told the truth about the Nazis and the Azov Battalion by the mainstream corporate media for years. And then all of a sudden, when the war started, they flipped. And now people are told constantly over and over that that's Russian propaganda.
Zelensky's Jewish. That's the first thing they say. Zelensky's Jewish.
That's the first thing they said, as if that would be the first time somebody sold out their people. But the good news is that when, you know, I'm also do stand up comedy, and I go up and in front of crowds in Los Angeles and all across the country, and they're sick and tired of funding these foreign wars. They always have been. That was a big reason why Donald Trump got elected the first time and the second time, because he was against our foreign entanglements and us funding foreign wars. And he said, let's bring that money back home and invest it in America. And of course, now he's doing the exact opposite when it comes to the Middle East. He's trying to end the Ukraine war. It's way harder than he thinks it is. And the reason why I suspect it's way harder is for two reasons. People forget that the United States isn't a neutral partner in this war. They're not like coming in as a neutral. They're actually at war, a proxy war. They're funding the war. They're sending advisors. They're sending rockets and military equipment and intelligence and logistics so Ukraine can fight. So we're actually in this war against Russia. Which we've lost. That's the thing that other people don't realize, or they're starting to realize, that the United States and Ukraine has lost the war. So they don't have any leverage. Donald Trump doesn't have any leverage. And the Ukraine and Zelensky has no leverage. Russia, just as we've predicted from day one of this war, this war is going to end on Russia's terms. And they should have ended the war immediately. A month after it started, there was a peace agreement. We've talked about this, and then NATO flew Boris Johnson in and threatened Zelensky, said you better not do this, and the Azov Nazis also threatened him. They said he'd be swinging from a tree in a town square if he declared peace with Russia, and so he didn't. So I have a little sympathy for Zelensky under that. He's being threatened by the most powerful people and by Nazis, and so that's the problem. The people in Europe, for whatever reason, you would maybe know better than me, are committed to this war in Ukraine and committed to building up Putin as some kind of an imperialist who wants to go into Germany. He wants to go into Poland. He wants to go into Lithuania, which is all, that's the domino theory, which is always a lie. And so I don't understand. So what it looks like is that Donald Trump is realizing he's not going to get a peace deal. That's what it looks like, because Zelensky is not. He's like, well, we can't give up Crimea. Well, that's gone. That was given up under Barack Obama in 2014. That's over. And so it just seems like Zelensky is not going to agree to a peace deal, and Russia's not going to agree to a peace deal that isn't super favorable to them. Why? Because they won the war. So it looks like my best hope is that the United States stops funding the Ukraine war and leave it up to Europe. Go ahead. You go bankrupt yourselves. Europe's in what they call a contraction right now. Last time I checked, that was also called a recession, because they blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, the United States did, which is now why energy prices are 2, 3, and 4 times higher in Germany and Europe, and it's tanking their economy. So let them go ahead and spend more of their money for a stupid, useless war against Russia over absolutely nothing. I say go ahead. But the only thing that Trump does, so Trump has threatened to sanction any country that buys oil and gas from Russia if they don't agree to a peace deal. We'll see. Well, that's why BRICS is happening. The United States has weaponized the dollar, which is the worst thing you could do, because people are moving off the dollar, and that's going to tank our economy as soon as the United States dollar doesn't become the reserve currency of the world anymore. So this is a lose-lose-lose for the United States.
Although, as you say, Trump is getting better, and it's not just European elites. You have a deep state elites in your country. I mean, Hillary Clinton teaches at Columbia University. I don't know why all these people of foreign students demonstrating for Palestine want to go to Columbia University. I think you made that point as well. I mean, frankly, they should be happy to be deported, some might say. But I want to get on to Pete Hegseth, the boss of the Pentagon under Trump, because if you ignore his support for genocide, is it ignore his support for the bombing of the poorest country in the Middle East? He's been smeared over the years for so much because he's had such a colorful life anyway. What's your take on these signal chat conversations that have been leaked about how they're trying to get rid of him, presumably because he does want peace and wants to avert World War III and a nuclear confrontation between the United States and Russia? Is he going to survive?
Well, when Pete Hegseth was just a television commentator, he was very bellicose and he was very much a saber rattler and he was very pro-war and he wanted to bomb Iran and bomb their nuclear facilities and, you know, talk tough and flex our muscles and all that stuff. But now he's the Secretary of Defense. And so now he realizes he has responsibility. And if we actually do have a war with Iran, there's a very good chance that that would be very bad for the United States, which is what he was advised. So he it came out. It was leaked that Tulsi Gabbard, J.D. Vance and Pete Hegseth advised against Donald Trump bombing Iran at the behest of Israel once again, by the way, because Israel can't do it. They need the United States. So every war we fought from Iraq to Libya to Syria, now Iran is at the behest of Israel. So, but that's a side point. But so it came out that Pete Hegseth was against bombing Iran, which I'm sure that the AIPAC lobby in Israel and the neocons all and the war machine thought he would be for it. So they came, the information I'm told is that the neocons came down hard on Pete Hegseth. And that's why you see all these smears of him and they're trying to get rid of him. And so his attempt to try to gain their favor was to fire his three closest top advisors who they've been lifelong friends of his. And he threw them under the bus. He said they were leaking information. I'm told that that was his kind of salvo to the neocons, like, look, I'm getting these people gave me bad information.
That's not a good gambit, though, is it? It's kind of thing Jeremy Corbyn did in Britain to fire your best friends because they're your support within the Pentagon.
He's firing his loyalists, which is the dumbest thing you could do. And everybody seems to do the dumbest things in the world at the behest of Israel. And that's exactly what's happening. So
but then you mentioned Tulsi Gabbard. Mentioned Tulsi Gabbard there, which suggests, because we all know that, I mean, I don't know, people question whether Israel has something on Tulsi Gabbard, Trump, Hegseth, Pam Bondi, the attorney general, all this stuff. But you have the feeling they don't want a war with Iran, despite the Israel lobbying and the fact they're fine with the genocide.
Well, I think that there's a big, Tulsi Gabbard came to prominence because she opposed these regime change wars. She opposed these wars at the behest of Israel, and she told the truth about them, and most famously Syria. And what she predicted came true, that if Assad goes, Al-Qaeda is going to take over, which is exactly what happened. But it's interesting, isn't it, that Al-Qaeda and ISIS never attack Israel. They're supposed to be their sworn enemies, yet they never attack them. In fact, now Jilani, the head of the Al-Qaeda leader in Syria, wants to be part of the Abraham Accords. He wants to work with Israel. He wants to be their friends. Isn't that interesting? It's almost like they were invented by the CIA and the Mossad and that they've been doing their bidding all along. It's almost like that. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it certainly looks that way. And so Tulsi Gabbard I think she's a pragmatist, right? Just like Pete Hegseth realizes, like, uh-oh, I'm in power now. If we do this war with Iran, Iran is not Iraq. Iran is not Libya. Iran is not Syria. And if we do this, this could go really bad for the United States military. And we don't want to have this as a blotch on our record. So they're being way more cautious than they were when they were TV hosts or when they were trying to get confirmed at the Senate hearing. So now they realize that this is going to be on their record, and they realize this is a bad idea. And so I think that's why they're being way more pragmatic and cautious about attacking Iran.
In fairness to Abraham Accord signatories, they didn't give away half the country to Israel when they signed it, which of course is what Jalani has done. We only got a couple of minutes left. I'd better just ask you, while you're still in LA before your tour, what the scale of poverty is like in your country, because I think people don't perhaps understand the latest statistic. I saw the OECD countries, it's the last. Child poverty is skyrocketing, has been. Just remind us about the United States, which a different type of United States than the one many people around the world watching this see on cultural mediums like film and television.
Well, I think this all goes back to, you know, what led to Trump's Hail Mary, as I call it, for this tariffs to try to bring manufacturing and reinvigorate the middle class in the United States. What happened starting in the 80s was that we started to outsource our manufacturing to places like China because it was cheaper. And that hollowed out them. And we also passed a thing called NAFTA, which is a trade agreement with Canada and the United States, which also cut the legs out from underneath the organized labor and unions ever since. That was in the 90s. And so we've hollowed out our own country at the behest of millionaires and billionaires who own our corporations. So corporate profits have gone up while the workers jobs have disappeared. And so we've become the only thing we do is we have service industry jobs. And so, yes, we have, 80% of workers living paycheck to paycheck, 50% of workers in America, wage earners earn less than $30,000. And half of the country can't afford a $500 emergency. A quarter of children, they say, live in poverty. Our homeless, of course, is exploding. But that's not just in the United States. That's happening also in Canada and other Western countries. And they've also flooded country with illegal immigrants, right? And that's also for two purposes. The first purpose is to drive down wages so corporations could make more profits. The second reason is to get so we don't come together. So working class people from the left and the right don't realize we have a common enemy. It's the people who have outsourced our jobs, who have crushed our economy, and who have flooded our country with illegal immigrants to suppress our wages. So they want us angry. They want workers who can't get a decent wage or a decent job and whose jobs have been eliminated. They want us not angry at the people in power. They want us angry at the people who are lower on the economic ladder than us, the immigrant, and so we could fight them. And it works perfectly. It's divide and conquer. It's what they've always done since World War II, for sure. It's divide and conquer. And so that's the two purposes. So, yeah, that's a big driving factor of poverty in the United States. And, you know, it's not just the United States. It seems like they're trying to do this in the entire Western world. Jimmy, and it seems to be working.
Jimmy Dore, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
And that's it for the show. Our condolences to those suffering the EU-US-UK armed genocide and famine continuing in Gaza. We'll be back on Monday with the father of Elon Musk, Errol Musk. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country. And head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.